Exodus chapter 14, verse 21. Scripture says, "And Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and the Lord caused the sea to go back by a strong east wind all that night, and made the sea dry land, and the waters were divided. And the children of Israel went into the midst of the sea upon dry ground, and the waters were a wall unto them on the right hand and on their left. And the Egyptians pursued and went in after them to the midst of the sea, even all Pharaoh's horses, his chariots, and his horsemen. And it came to pass that in the morning watch the Lord looked unto the host of the Egyptians through the pillar of fire and of the cloud, and troubled the host of the Egyptians." Wow. "And took off their chariot wheels." You know what? It means something when God fights for you. Amen. Just let me stop right here and interject. Some of you need to stop fighting so hard and allow God to do the battle for you. If I don't say anything else, that's a word for you this morning. "Took off their chariot wheels, that they drove them heavily, so that the Egyptians said, Let us flee from the face of Israel." How many knows you can come to a point where the enemy wants to run from you? I'm passionate about this. Jesus. Wow. "Let us flee from the face of Israel, for the Lord is fighting for them against the Egyptians." How many knows the enemy will recognize that? "And the Lord said unto Moses, stretch out your hand over the sea, that the waters may come upon the Egyptians, upon their chariots and upon their horsemen. And Moses stretched forth his hand over the sea, and the sea returned to his strength when the morning appeared, and the Egyptians fled against it, and the Lord overthrew the Egyptians in the midst of the sea. And the waters returned, covered the chariots and the horsemen and all the hosts of Pharaoh that came into the sea after them. There remained not so much as one of them. But the children of Israel walked upon the dry land in the midst of the sea, and the waters were a wall unto them on their right hand and on their left. Thus the Lord saved Israel that day out of the hand of the Egyptians. And Israel saw the Egyptians dead upon the seashore. And Israel saw that great work which the Lord did upon the Egyptians, and the people feared the Lord and believed the Lord and his servant Moses." Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word this morning. Oh, Jesus, we pray for a supernatural anointing upon your servant this morning. God, let this word speak to your people. Let it strengthen us. Let it challenge us. Let it change us. We thank you for it and we praise you for it in Jesus' name. And the church says, amen. You may be seated. I'm really passionate about what God would have me to speak to you this morning. And I titled this message, "It All Comes Down to This." Amen. How many would like to see change in your life personally? How many would like to see change in this region corporately? I know I can stand behind this pulpit and say I'd like to see change in my life. Oh, Jesus. So what I want us to do this morning is I want you to insert yourself right in. You know, we oftentimes preach, you know, and if you've been a Christian for any time at all, you've heard this passage of Scripture preached many, many times concerning the children of Israel leaving Egyptian bondage and crossing through the Red Sea. The Red Sea was such a focal point of what was going to happen in the advancement of the kingdom of God and whether or not they were going to take the land, amen, whether or not they were going to take Canaan. And you have to understand, let me just go ahead and say, many people are still standing at the Red Sea. Amen. Oh, hallelujah. Now, it all comes down to this. In studying this, I had to look at, I looked at several different things. And how many knows what a safari is? You understand that safaris kind of throw off nature somewhat. Amen. Is anybody with me? when you trap animals, when you have animals trapped and not, oh, I'm just going to teach a little bit here, okay? When you have animals trapped and not in their natural habitat, it affects the animals, their surroundings, and the other animals because of the lack of that animal's mobility. It's not natural to be bound. Now, this is being recorded this morning. Now, the Lord told me this is a message, obviously, for our Father's house, but I feel like this is a message for this entire region and the people within this area, within Bell County, Kentucky, and the tri-state area. It's not natural to be bound. Hey. Now, I understand oftentimes when we speak of bondage, that people automatically focus on, wow, I feel a supernatural anointing coming in this room. That people automatically focus, they tend to just target in on and focus in on such bondages as drug addictions and alcoholism and sexual addictions and pornography. And we realize and know that those are prevalent, and they're very prevalent in this area. But I'm going to tell you that there's so many different ways that the enemy has people caught up in bondage and the spirit of religion and the spirit of fear and of anxiety and depression and poverty and not realizing who they are and what the Word of God says about who they are. And God, I tell you, y'all got to lift up your pastor this morning, because I'm passionate about this, and God has placed a mandate. If I'm not going to preach anything else in Bell County, Kentucky, I'm going to preach that people need to be free. They need to be set free from those things that have them bound up and keeping them from advancing the kingdom of God. It's not natural to be bound. And you understand, that's why even with animals, that's why when certain animals go extinct, it throws things off. They're no longer part of that. Are you with me? How about people when they're in prison? It's not natural to be bound. When people are bound, they don't function to their best use. Prisoners struggle to adjust to a normal environment when they have been subjected to an abnormal environment. What are you saying, Pastor? For so long, and insert yourself, right, insert this region into this statement. For so long, they have substituted the abnormal for the normal. Amen. And they can't feel at ease in their freedom because they're used to being bound. And what happens is the entire family is affected by that bondage. The entire family is affected by the one who is locked up. It changes the whole structure of the family. Oh, hallelujah. So it's not natural. Incarceration is not natural. Amen? Are y'all with me? We adapt. Now, I'm going to take my time here. We adapt the things that are not natural. We accept things around us rather than changing the environment we adapt to it. Oh, it's just the way it's always been. My daddy was this way. My grandpa was this way. Guess what? My father and two brothers that he had, two of his brothers never reached the age. There was four brothers, and three of them never reached the age of 60. In fact, three of them died within a span of 4 months, and they were in their early 50s. My mother had seven boys and one girl, and out of those seven boys, there's three boys left, and none of those boys have reached age 60. I'm speaking that cycle is going to be broken in Jesus' name. Amen? We can't, you don't, listen, what I'm preaching to you is don't look at things that have happened in the past. Don't look at what's been in Bell County, Kentucky for all these years and say, that's the way it's all. And you know, I get so frustrated when they portray us on television news programs. And these are poor people and they're dumb people and they're dumb hillbillies. And I'm telling you, it's time for that attitude to change. It's time for us not to be in bondage. Come on. It's got to start somewhere. Where does it start? If the church can't be free, how can the world be free? We have to walk in our freedom before they can walk in theirs. Oh, hallelujah. Come on. I'm talking about somebody needs to be free this morning. Don't look at your neighbor next to you and say, they need to be. What about what's keeping you in bondage? Hey, I've had this in me for a while now. We got to stop adapting to the environment, and we got to change it. When we get in that condition of adapting, we can hear a word that challenges us to get out. And you know, and what, you got to understand, we can't allow what's abnormal to define us. Are you with me? Hear this. When wrong has become normal, it's difficult to be free. When wrong has become normal, it's like people's minds and what people allow within their minds, Randy, and people, you know, even the things. Now I'm just going to speak the truth, and I'm just going to preach the truth. People, our society has become so warped, even in intimacy and relationships, and people become the enemy wants to program. Oh, come on, let's just lay it out there where it's at. You can't even hardly watch television anymore, and the commercials, and even if you're watching a wholesome, godly program, amen, and the commercials that come on the TV, and how they're trying to say this is normal and this is the way people are supposed to be programmed and this is the relationship and even sexual relationships. Come on, I'm just going to preach the truth. Our people are programmed to think abnormal thoughts are y'all understanding what I'm hearing? And it's oh glory, it's perverted the word of God and the plan of God for people's lives and the way God intended things to be. Well, somebody say amen this morning, amen, and receive the word of the Lord. We need to understand that things need to change. Don't adapt to it. When wrong has become normal, it's difficult to be free. Amen? And let me see this. It's not the wall that's around you that has you bound. It's your intellect. It's your way of thinking. We got to start thinking big. It's your way of thinking that has you bound. We got to come out of that. Don't accept that. You know, that's what has you trapped. It's your wrong way of thinking. Many are in bondage to a wrong way of thinking. I told you now, some of this is just sit with me. Some of this is going to come out like teaching this morning. But I got to get it. Oh, hallelujah. You imprison yourself mentally and say, this is how it's supposed to be. And when you're locked up for a little while, you reject it. But after a while, you accept it. It's like that bad thought that you might have, and at first you rejected it, but then all of a sudden you accept it, and then you try to rationalize and reason with why God doesn't care because of what you were thinking. Oh, God. You know, how many's ever heard, I wish I could read people's minds? No, you don't. Trust me. You do not want to know what others are thinking. We got to get deliverance here. It's when it's within this, hey, our spirit is saved. Come on now. Our spirit, it's not going to get any more saved than it was when you first got saved. Oh, this ain't popular preaching. You know, when God saves you, when you're born again, when he breathes up on you, you're cleansed and you have access to everything that God has and everything in his kingdom. What has to be delivered is what's up here. That's why this is why he's saving this every day. Your spirit is saved. If Jesus splits the clouds right now, you're going to go to heaven. But the thing is, if you stay here, what's going to happen in your life? Amen. Oh, hallelujah. I hope you're getting something out of this. Hallelujah. So we imprison ourselves, meaning we say this is how it's supposed to be. But, you know, when we're locked up a little while, we reject it. But then we start accepting and we adapt. And then even when freedom comes, you got to hear this now. Even when freedom comes, sometimes people will resist freedom because it has become familiar to them to be in bondage. Who's ever seen the movie Shawshank Redemption? I remember the little guy on that movie that had the little mouse. Was that the one the guy had? Well, no. Had the little bird. Okay, the older gentleman. And it came his day to be free. And he got to go. He left the prison. Took his little suitcase and he went. And they put him in his apartment and gave him a job and all these things. And he couldn't adapt. Y'all. He resisted freedom. He resisted freedom. He couldn't adapt to what, you know, what I'm talking about is people being able to adapt. It's time, y'all hear me this morning. You was on it this morning. It's time for a shift. It's time for a radical shift. It's time for a change to where you don't think that things are going to happen like they did last year, that this year is going to be a different year, that things are going to be different. Amen. No, I'm not going to, I'm not going to accept what's around me, my environment. Guess what? I'm going to stand on the Word of God and I'm going to change it. I'm going to allow it to change me, and then I'm going to change somebody else because I'm tired of just living and settling for what the enemy wants in our lives and not having what God wants. Oh, I'm about to blow up. Is anybody getting this morning? We got to change some things. And you know what? Don't look at you, brother. I know I've said this before. Don't look at the person. Don't look at your neighbor. Look at you. What can change within me? If there's a rift between you and your neighbor, what can I do to settle that? If there's something, oh, glory, come on, this is good holiness preaching right here now. This is what will set you free, amen. This will do a whole lot more for you than a lot of that other stuff, amen. This will change you on the inside. All right, I got to go. But people are locked up one way or another. I said it earlier, drugs, alcohol. Religion, fear, amen, not realizing their potential. You know what? It means something to say I'm free. And to really be able to say that with conviction and say, hey, guess what? I'm free. Amen. Now, let's look at something here real quick. Genesis 15:13. Did I give you these verses, Jay? We're going to get back to our text here. That was the foundation. God told Abraham, he said, your children's going to go to Egypt. They're going to go in free. After 30 years, they're going to be captive for 400 years. Over 400 years, right? Are you with me? And then it says, oh, glory. Then it said, you're going to be reduced to slavery. Amen? You know what? That's a long time to adapt to things. Amen? 400 years is a long time to get used to things. How many can say that this region, been a long time that people have been adapting to things, whether in church or outside of church? It starts in the church. Don't look out there at the world. Let's fix it in here. Come on, don't look at the prostitute going down the street and say she needs to be fixed when you're not praying. Hey. Don't look at the one that says he's bound up and he's destroyed his life by drugs when all you can do is gossip and talk about your neighbor. Let's take care of this one that you look in the mirror at every morning. Get him lined out and God will take care of everything else. Amen. He'll use you to set somebody else free. Oh, God, take care of Odie. Take care of me. Let me get me lined out. Oh, we better be praying and we better be seeking the face of God and getting on our knees. We better be getting into the Word of God and stop focusing on everybody else's problems. Amen. And get yourself in line. There's some places we need some work. You may not be, There's some places I need some work. I mean, I'm not standing on this platform telling you I've got it all together and you need to arrive. I'm just saying we need to all check ourselves. We need to do inventory. Amen. I feel like preaching. I feel like I'm about to blow up. Can I get a drink of water? Get ready. Hey, hey, hey. All right. It's a long time to adapt to a lot of junk. It was an oppressive lifestyle. Listen, hear this. When the children of Israel ended up in Egypt, it was an oppressive lifestyle that made them forget who they were. It made them forget who God was. It made them forget the covenant. They got in that bondage and they forgot who they were. They forgot who God was and they forgot the covenant. They were overwhelmed with their condition and they adapted to their environment. Can we say that's the picture of the church today? That we have forgot. Oh, listen to me. Many of people in the church today have forgotten who they are in God. They have forgotten who God is, and they have forgotten the covenant. It's time for us to remind ourselves what the Word of God says about who you are. You are made in the image and likeness of Almighty God. The power has been transferred. Oh, you got to hear me. The Lord woke me up at 4 o'clock the other morning, and He dropped one word into my spirit, and I can't get that word out of my mind. And that word is established. Jesus came here to establish His kingdom. He didn't come in here just to save people and just cause you to limp into heaven and wait till you get to heaven and build you a little cabin in the corner. He came to establish a kingdom, to tear down the kingdom of darkness and to build up His kingdom. He transferred that power to the church. It's time for the church to realize who they are in the kingdom of God and quit walking around. You know, I saw a vision of the church walking on crutches and in wheelchairs and walking on walkers and barely making it to the house of God. We need to come in here and say, I'm free. Is there anybody else in here that needs to be set free? Oh, hallelujah. Somebody needs to give God some praise in this house. Hey. Oh, come on, somebody praise Him. Oh, glory. It's time. We realize again who we are. You got to get your identity. So that word established. You understand? I want you to hear this statement. It's in my notes somewhere. But how many remembers several weeks ago I preached a message on the image of God? It's all about the image. That's what the enemy's after. You are made in the likeness of the image of God. That's why he hates you. I want you to remember this statement. Bondage suppresses the image of God. Because you don't look like what you're supposed to look like. You don't act like what you're supposed to act like. Are you with me? Now, Exodus 3:9 tells us it took them a long time to adapt to a lot of junk. But Exodus 3:9 tells us that they knew something was wrong. Now, how many of us, we say, you know, you could just tell something not right. You feel, if I've got anybody, any takers that'll come on board with me and say, there's some things that ain't right. There's some things that are not right for proper grammar. There's some things that aren't right in our region. Hey, hey, hey. You know, a lot of people sitting around waiting for God to show up and for Him to change it. One of these days, God's going to show up. And you know what? I was praying about this yesterday. Oh, Jesus. One of these days, God's going to show up. He's going to take care of everything. He's going to fix everything. You know what I heard the Lord say in my spirit? I already did show up and I already took care of it and I already fixed it. No. See, the scripture says He's crucified once. one time. When, you know, remember when Moses struck the rock the second time? No. It don't work that way. Just one time. He took care. It is finished. He said, he got up on the cross. He didn't say, well, that's scene one. I'll be back. He said, it's finished. And he said, when he comes back, he's coming for a glorious church. He's coming for a church without spot or wrinkle. He's coming for a church that have their robes washed in the blood of the Lamb. Is anybody with me this morning? He says, I already came and take care of it. Took care of it. It's time for you to do your job. I'll take the challenge. Can we stamp out sin out of our homes? Can we stamp out every negative thing that comes into our homes? Get the junk. Thank you, Elder. So here's the thing. You got to get this. They cried out to God from an oppressed place. You know, it's easy to get down in the pit and get in the mire and have a pity party and get down on ourselves. No. They cried out to God from an oppressed place. Sure, they were oppressed, but they cried out to God. Amen? And you know, you got to start crying out to God and say, deliver me, God, because you're a covenant-keeping God. I'm walking in that freedom. So here's the title of our message. It all comes down to this. Amen? Are you with me? Here's the deal. Exodus 12, verse 35 and 36. I want you to see this. Oh, Jesus. Are we enjoying the word this morning? This messes me up. And the children of Israel did according to the word of Moses, and they borrowed the Egyptians. The word borrowed goes a little bit further than your regular borrowed. Trust me. They borrowed of the Egyptians jewels of silver and jewels of gold and raiment. Verse 36. And the Lord gave the people favor in the sight of the Egyptians so that they lent unto them such things as they required. And they spoiled the Egyptians. What do you mean? What do you mean? What do you mean? They spoiled the Egyptians. That means they took their stuff. Oh, it's getting ready to take a shift now. What are you saying, Pastor? When you determine who you are and you step out of that, out of that bondage that you are in, and then you're going to take a step. And it's not just about saying, okay, I'm out of bondage and now I'm free. God never set the children of Israel, he never gave them freedom from Egyptian just so they could say they were out. He gave them freedom from the Egyptians so they could go in. It's not just about saying, praise God, I'm free. Because if you're just standing in a single place of freedom, chances are you're going to regress. You're going to have, what is the word? Whatever the word is. You're going to go backwards. You're not going to advance. Amen. Because you got to make up in your mind, I'm not just going to walk in this freedom, but I'm going to take some stuff. They took of the Egyptians. They took the spoil. Come on, somebody. They took of the spoil of the Egyptians. Amen. They had come away from 400 years of slavery. 400 years of depending on their taskmasters. Are we going to get straw today or not? Am I going to have peace today or not? Am I going to walk in freedom today or not? 400 years they had to survive and depended on the mercy of the Pharaoh to eat, Justin, and to survive. And today you have straw, and tomorrow you don't have straw. They were living in hopeless. Can somebody hear me this morning? They were living in hopeless poverty and want, laboring under the hand of their taskmasters. Then, at the appointed time, God supernaturally delivered them out of Egyptian bondage according to what he had revealed to Abraham some 430 years earlier. And Moses came to liberate them, to set them free. Oh, glory. Although they had been suppressed and beaten down by the Egyptians, you got to hear me now. This is where it gets good. They did not leave Egypt weak and without any stuff. They didn't leave Egypt in poverty. They didn't leave Egypt weak. They didn't leave Egypt feeble and sick. They left Egypt. They took some stuff and left Egypt. Can I have some people that says they're going to have a made up mind that they're going to take some stuff and they're going to leave Egypt? Amen. I'm going to leave oppression. I'm tired of being in oppression. And I'm not just going to survive and get out, but I'm loading up, baby. I'm loading up some stuff with me. I'm going to take a loot. Amen. Woo. I'm tired of being the tail and not the head. I'm tired of the enemy mocking me and making fun of me. Oh, hallelujah. I'm passionate about this. They didn't leave weak. And they didn't leave feeble. The chains of bondage were broken. Truly broken. I did a study one time, and you know when they had the first, check this out, when they had the first offering, when they came out and they were going to build. When they were going to build the first offering, you go check it out and read it. All the gold that came, it was a million dollars. The first offering they took up $1 million. $1 million from poor people that has been in bondage for over 400 years. Y'all hearing me? Amen. God transferred the wealth of the wicked into the hands of his people. God's wanting to do the same thing today. Now, here's what I want you to see. Pharaoh, how many understands that sometimes, you know, you shout the victory on Sunday morning and you're dancing before the Lord, and Monday you feel like you're at the Red Sea. And Pharaoh's right on your tail. He's chasing you hard. Trying to pull you back. He's trying to pull you back. Jason, he's trying to pull you back. Here's a revelation. If you do anything else, I want you to get this out of this word. Pharaoh didn't want the Egyptians back just to get the slaves back. He could get more slaves. He wanted the Egyptians back because of what they were carrying. He wanted the Israelites. He wanted the Israelites back because of what they possessed, what they were carriers of. And I'm telling you, I'm speaking a prophetic word right now. You are carriers of the prophetic. You are carriers of blessings. You are carriers of change. You are carriers of a shift. And the enemy, he don't want just so he can keep you in bondage. He knows what you possess. He knows what you are carrying in the spirit realm. He knows, Holly, it's not just about him getting you back. It's about her not being able to flow and to touch somebody else's life. He knows what you can do that I can't do. And Jason and others. Oh, come on, somebody hear me in this room. He wants that you possess back.